This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Happy New Year, boys.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Season on the line. Loop's kick is on the way.
Loop missed it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen. Coming up, full NFL playoffs breakdown, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Liam Cohen of the Jacksonville Jaguars joined us in hour number one of this program. And then you can join us the rest of the way. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone lines are already lit. Everybody wants to talk about a lot of coaches that have been fired already. It's four today and last night to the two that had already been bounced during the regular season. We wait. We wait to see if there's any more to come, but I kind of get the sense that Atlanta, Cleveland, and Vegas, and also Arizona are going to be it. We'll discuss that later on in this program. I don't know who else there could be other than, you know, would Miami go ahead and do something? I don't know. We shall see, but I shouldn't say such things out loud when the carousel just starts spinning. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. We started talking about the Sunday night game between the Steelers and the Ravens. Took the Steelers' point of view right off the bat, because you always talk about the winners, usually, unless it's the Cowboys, then we'll talk about them first, right?
That's a fact.
Let's talk Ravens. Certainly coming into this game, there was a lot of talk of which longest-tenured head coach in the National Football League is going to be on the hot seat by losing. And I just don't know. Let's just put it this way. I don't think the game went down in a way that could be pinned on a coach by a decision or anything like that. Out of anybody that could have potentially had anything pinned on him based on decisions made in the game last night, it would be Tomlin. Deciding to go for it from the 1 yard line before halftime rather than taking the 3 points. I did like the decision at the time, didn't like the play call.
Same.
I think Jason Garrett said during halftime he liked the play call until he saw what defense the Ravens were showing. And then, of all people to, I guess, pin on to not change the play was Aaron Rodgers saying they should have checked out of it. But long story short, other than just the offense falling asleep between quarters one and four, allowing the Steelers to play catch up and then eventually take the lead, that is something that I think is part and parcel of a Ravens season that wound up being very frustrating. Didn't help that Lamar went out of the hamstring injury, as we're now dissecting or CSIing the Ravens season here. And the decision to go with Cooper Rush as the backup quarterback lasted just one game. We were all wondering if that was a fit. If Lamar went down, Cooper Rush is so not Lamar that you'd have to change things up. Snoop Huntley brought in, and obviously he performed well enough. They beat the Bears.
Yeah.
The Ravens did.
Huge game.
You know, Snoop, as we know, also beat the Packers in Green Bay with Malik Willis looking more like Lamar than Lamar did all season long until the fourth quarter of this football game. And there was also that Sunday night loss to the Patriots that sticks out because Derrick Henry didn't touch the football in the final throws of that game. And, you know, Harbaugh and Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, responded by giving Henry the ball 36 times in Green Bay, and he wound up rewarding them with 216 yards and four touchdowns and an opportunity to win the division just by, at the end of the day, everything that I just recounted, starting with the Sunday night opener in Buffalo when the Ravens put up 40 and lost in a game that they had dead to rights until, of all people, Derrick Henry fumbled, flipping the script. The Ravens starting off stubbing their toe like that, able to win five in a row and dig out of that hole, only to suffer more inconsistent play and losing back-to-back home games in a span of 5 days to Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow on a Thanksgiving night, is just something that Ravens fans are going to have stuck in their craw. And now the question is, what next? Because they do have an incredible roster. I mean, they're you look at their team and you're wondering, how did they finish below 500? I just gave you some reasons. And do you pin that on a coach who otherwise is burnishing a Hall of Fame resume? And I know Ravens fans might not want to hear that. There is some maybe fatigue of having the same things materialize in fourth quarters and in, you know, Januaries, and with the exception of one February day in New Orleans, winding up short. And John Harbaugh was asked after the game about his future.
It's disappointing. It's disappointing. I think our guys fought. We were that close to winning the North, and we didn't get a chance to get it done. So all that other stuff is history. Had a chance to do it. We didn't do it. We're disappointed, and we'll move on.
It just happened, but are you feeling like you want another shot with these guys?
Yeah, I love these guys. I love these guys.
You know, and for the radio audience, there was a furrowing of the brow from John Harbaugh listening to that question before answering it. The body language being, you know, are you asking if I want to quit being the Baltimore Ravens head coach? You know, or are you asking me if I'm worried about my job? And if you're asking that, you didn't ask me that directly, so I'll turn down answering that directly and just say, of course I want to be with these guys. I love them. What are you inferring? You know, and the question is, at the end of the day, what does the owner think? And I don't have any inkling of what's going on inside Steve Bisciotti's head, other than the fact that the guy likes continuity, obviously, and that the teams that don't have a shot at the Super Bowl are the ones that churn through head coaches and churn through front offices. And I understand at some point the Ravens would like to see some churn in terms of results.
Four playoff wins in the last 13 seasons.
And so the question is what do you do now? I don't think the Ravens are going to do a damn thing with John Harbaugh. And if they did, I think one of the six teams that's currently going through a coaching cycle would be all over him in 2 seconds flat. And so, you know, because I know when my end of the collegiate world was going through it a couple of weeks ago, looking for a coach, there was a lot of Michigan friends of mine were like, would John Harbaugh do it? I'm like, let the man finish the season before you even ask, would you want to do something your brother did? I don't think so. I think he's in a spot that he wants to be. And that's his answer. Now, the quarterback's a different story in terms of the answer he gave in the first blush moments of losing in heartbreaking fashion. Listen to this exchange that's been resonating all since the words came out of Lamar's mouth.
This offseason, there's a lot of questions about your contract, your salary cap number. Do you feel you'll be back as the Ravens quarterback next season?
We just lost a game, you know, a divisional game, you know, a game to put us in the playoffs. I'm not even thinking about that right now, to be honest with you. I'm still caught up in what just happened, you know. That's not my focus right now.
There's a lot of questions about Harbaugh's future as well. Do you want to see John remain the coach next year?
You asked me about next year, Jameson. Like, I'm so caught up in what just happened tonight. I can't focus on that right now. I just told you. Like, he asked me, are you stunned? I'm stunned right now. I'm still trying to process what's going on. Like, I know we lost, but what the, like, you know?
I think he went, almost went WTF right there. And to his defense, if you will, he was still steaming about the loss long after. I don't know if you caught this exchange. Did you see this one? Where Jason McCourty had a screen grab of Ben Skowronek, their Steelers' stellar special teams player, seemingly using the backs of his teammates as leverage to try and block the eventual game-winning field goal that was missed. And Lamar reposted that with SMFH, not to go all Kurt Cignetti on you, but Google it. So he was still steaming afterwards. Yeah. But the question of, like, you know, listen, let's just put it this way. Let's say we are fortunate enough to be Emmy nominated again, right? In the running for the ultimate prize that you search for in our business, right? Other than just success and happiness working, right?
Right.
You're looking for the accolade.
Sure.
Let's just say we get nominated again and don't win it again. So let's just say that happens. And you then say to me, do I want to, like, you come up to me within 5 minutes of losing. Okay. Let's just say I had a press conference. After.
Okay.
You ask me if I want to still be the host of the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead.
Rich, I know, heartbreaking loss, and again at the hands of the Emmy board.
Yeah.
You still want to be the host of the Rich Eisen Show? You still want to keep doing this?
Of course I do. What are you talking about? See how that works?
Right.
Now, ask it again, and I'll give the answer similar to what Lamar just gave.
Yeah, Rich, another heartbreaking defeat here at the Sports Emmys. Seemed to be a tradition that's taken place. You still want to be the host of the Rich Eisen Show?
I just lost again to that show.
And that guy.
And that host.
Right, that other,
you know, host. I just sat through 4 hours of sitting in the back of this room waiting for the awards where they don't serve you anything to eat or drink. You know, you're sitting back there. You don't have any Wi-Fi connection. It goes in and out. You're like sitting here thinking, this is the heart of New York City. You can't give me a Wi-Fi connection. And I'm still going for what the. Just give me a minute. You see the difference?
Yeah, I feel unemployed.
Sorry, Jay.
Do you see the difference? That's a difference.
Yeah, but
now again, Lamar is a different. He's a unicorn. There's very, very few people like Lamar, and he can potentially compartmentalize that sort of thing without realizing. If you don't give an immediate answer of like what Joe Burrow did, remember a few weeks ago, where he gave a cryptic answer about. Being happy there, and then he was asked point blank, do you see yourself as anything other than the Bengals quarterback next season? No, I don't see it. Of course, I don't see not being here. He's like, give me a minute before I answer the question about whether I'm going to be here or not. Sometimes you don't need a minute.
Sometimes
you see the difference between John Harbaugh's answer and the quarterback's answer. Now, again, I'm just pointing out why this is going to linger. And I'm just wondering if we're entering a period of time where Lamar wants a contractual enhancement or something similar. And we're going to be in another spring wondering about their relationship. We already spent like the last time we went through this, Snoop Huntley late season start, wondering where Lamar is under center. We just spent that week hearing all sorts of stuff about Lamar falling asleep in meetings, which he pushed back against vehemently when asked. I'm just saying, I think we're going to go through that. I think we're going to go through that where John Harbaugh says nothing but love for Lamar Jackson and he stays put. How's that for a prediction? But that answer is not going to help calm any waters.
Yeah, but he gave a perfect answer to start with. He's still in his feelings. He's like not
registering what's going on. I think we sometimes hold these athletes to this regard that, like, they should be wordsmith like you. You know, they can't. They're not. That's
well, but it's. I don't think it's about a choice of words. I think it's about an emotion. Right? You're saying he's too emotional to sit there and
I mean, it seems
and tell everybody in the fan base that he's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Again, it's a question of, like, are you going to have a massive career change, seismic? And ask him that, obviously, in the moments that might give you a more visceral answer, not like, I can't even think about that. You understand the difference of what I'm saying? Like, I understand that, you know, he might not have found the words, but the bottom line is he was just asked, are you going to be here? And he's just like, I can't think about that right now. And the answer to that is, what's there to think about?
If he was designated as a post-June 1st trade...
Oh, gosh.
Saves the Ravens $52 million against the cap.
I get it.
Just saying.
I hear you. And we're not going to be in another situation of, like, who wouldn't want him? Of course everyone's going to want him.
Yeah, but we said that last time, too, and apparently nobody.
Well, it was also two firsts that would cost.
Just saying.
Even though that just got flipped for Sauce Gardner. And I think people would probably use it on Lamar more than a corner.
Sauce Gardner, who won two games this year.
Oh, my gosh.
That's true.
Again, it just strikes me as, like, it's a simple question that at its heart is, like, John Harbaugh was asked it, do you want another shot at being the coach here? And he's just sort of like, of course. Well, I love these guys. Not like, you're just asking me in a really difficult moment a question about my future. If John had given the same answer as the quarterback, this would be a massive alarm fire right now in Baltimore.
Rich, pretty tough dinner situation at your house. Seemed you and the wife got into it a little bit. You still want to be married tomorrow?
You don't ask me now. I'm still upset about dinner. You see what I mean?
It's like the "Do you love me?" in any breakup. Yes, of course.
You know, but I don't know.
Nothing.
Me?
Yeah.
I've already.
No,
I've
I know you said
you spoke my.
What no, I well, okay. You know. But again, the answer is Lamar is definitely he definitely is wired differently. He's 100% wired differently, and so, like I said, that's why the first thing I showed you before setting up the question about it was him being upset about the leverage penalty that apparently could have been called to wipe off that missed field goal. Similar to the way Denver lost in Indianapolis this year. At the time, us thinking that would cost Denver a one seed against Indianapolis, and yada, 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 Denver got the one seed because the week one loss to the Raiders cost the Patriots.
Embarrassing.
Okay.
Week one's the preseason.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We come back, we'll take your phone calls, and then the conundrum of do you play your guys or not in the last week of the regular season. We saw two teams having different approaches, but the same result.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different, because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is a simulcast, ESPN, the app, Disney Plus, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We always appreciate everybody checking us out. Let's go to Ty in Illinois. Let's go to Ty. What's up, Ty?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I think that Lamar either needs to move on or he needs another play caller. He needs a dynamic play caller. Imagine him in Green Bay or Los Angeles. He needs the type of play caller to do for him what Ben Johnson did for Caleb Williams in Chicago.
Well, didn't Todd Monken, you know, change things for him? I mean, he had, well, with Monken, an MVP season and one that a lot of fans think in his corner got stolen from him by Josh Allen last year. Ty, it's not like it hasn't it just hasn't happened. And I don't know. I mean, Zay Flowers holds on to a ball against the Chiefs. It just, you know, that's one. I understand that Derrick Henry disappeared in a playoff game against the Chiefs as well. I don't know. Certainly last night's game, I can't pin that one on him.
I think he needs the accountability piece of it too. If you go back to what was done for Caleb Williams, the accountability is so huge, and I don't see the accountability there.
I don't know, Ty. I mean, I understand that he gets love and support nonstop to the point where what we read about in the Baltimore Sun gets alleged, and that there might be some smoke, if not a complete fire, on his ability to prepare himself for a game similar to what we would think as a conventional quarterback would do. And thanks for the call, Ty. I don't know if there's a lack of accountability other than the fact that you hear he doesn't take care of his body, he doesn't take care of this, he doesn't take care of that. And then after that was all, you know, alleged again, he showed up on that opening night in Kansas City when we were there a couple of Septembers ago, slimmed down. He looked great. I don't know what else can be done except when it happens in January or February, things go differently. This year was just sideways from the start. I don't know if they need to break up, right?
He looked pretty out of it last night, I thought. Just kind of, I don't know if it's disinterested is the right word, but just not himself until the fourth down quarter. Play.
Not the fourth down play, when he burst through a sack and found Zay Flowers.
Like, that's what I mean.
Running
like, yeah,
for first down.
That play, yeah.
And he finds Zay Flowers up top.
Yeah.
You know, the fourth down play, he threw an incredible ball to Isaiah Likely. And then in terms of play call,
but that was
Todd Monken kind of dialed one up where Zay Flowers got lost in the trash on the right side of the play. And then he's dashing empty. I mean, with nobody wide ass open. Listen, I mean, it's just that kick. If it goes through, we're talking about the Ravens hosting the Texans. And we're talking about what do the Steelers do from here? Man, the NFL, it's just really so razor thin between success and despair.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't know how many other sports are. And that's kind of why the World Series came as close as it does in terms of viewership or interest to the NFL, because it was so razor's edge over and over and over again. Well, if that guy was, you know, safe, if that ball went another inch, if it didn't get lodged in the wall, what would happen? It's similar to what we saw last night. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Lot of recrimination in Philadelphia, which, by the way, could be any day of the week ending in Y. But the Eagles decided to hold out their starters and let the chips fall between the 2 and 3 seed. And the chips fell. And sure enough, the other result that the Eagles needed in order for them to get the 2 seed with a win over the Commanders, who hadn't won in forever and a day, happened. The Lions go into Chicago and beat a Bears team that starts everybody. Two coaches have different approaches, both lost on Sunday. Who would you rather be? The coach that, had they started everybody, could have gotten a better seed and you lose, and you can go into the playoffs saying, that's not the team that we are. We rested everybody. Or do you want to be the head coach that said, we play people around here. We put it all out there. We almost pulled it out of our orifice again, but we still lost to a Detroit Lions team that didn't make the playoffs and swept us. And you're now saying, we're not that team, even though it kind of looks like you are because you started everybody. And you still wind up the seed that you wanted anyway, which is the 2 seed. Because the difference between the 2 and the 3 seed in the NFC, the 2 seed takes on a Packers team that didn't start anybody at all, you know, from your quarterback to pretty much everybody, lose to Minnesota. But they're also 9-7-1. And, you know, ever since the Packers lost that game to the Bears that they were up 10 points in with, you know, just a little over 2 minutes to go, they didn't win. And it's the Packers and the Bears. And if you're the 2 seed and you win that game, you get another game at home. The only road game you have to play would be an NFC championship game unless somebody knocks off the 1 seed. And if you're the Eagles and you fall to the 3 seed, instead of getting a Packers team that you have had a number against in various hemispheres, instead of them, you get a 49ers team that's coming in. And let's put it this way. If you knock Brock Purdy out of this playoff game, you know, Josh Johnson and Christian McCaffrey running a Wildcat offense is not walking through that door. So there's a difference. Let's hear what Nick Sirianni had to say after the game, as I'm sure today in Philadelphia, everybody is just spending one more day upset about not putting out the best team on the field in an 18th week to get the best possible seed before they turn a page and focus on a 49ers team coming to town.
Now, you know, again, you go through your process. You make what you think is the best decision for the football team, and that's what we did. I knew this was an outcome that these things could happen. Like I said to you guys, one thing I could guarantee was giving them rest. I couldn't guarantee anything else. And us being healthy and going into the playoffs healthy is a big deal for us. And, you know, that's served us well in the past. And so, again, I know there'll be debate on that. But, you know, again, I have to do what's best, what I think's best for the football team moving forward. And that's what I did.
Has there been, name me another coach in recent memory who's won as much as this guy has, including a Super Bowl as recently as this guy has, to have his process questioned as much as it is?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So him coming out and saying, trust the process, by the way, in Philadelphia.
Maybe choose a different phrase.
You know what I mean? That we have a process. And we're sticking to it, and that's our process, and trust my process. And that's going over, I'm sure, like the proverbial, what will you say, church-like
aspect.
Flatulence.
So that's liquid.
Oh.
Don't forget that part.
Yeah, sure.
Meanwhile, there's Ben Johnson, whose process is beyond trusted in the city in which he coaches, because the previous processes were so bad and so in question and have been that way for so long that just seeing what we saw from them in NFC North Championship, regardless of result yesterday, starting everybody, only to have another three quarters of mind-numbing offensive inactivity, suddenly come alive like the Undertaker off the mat or Tim Tebow starting a fourth quarter, only to have that happen again, only to lose to the Lions anyway. Ben Johnson on his process hit it.
Ultimately, as you mentioned, this doesn't cost you at seating. What was your messaging for the guys
here? That we're quickly turning the page here. Everyone's disappointed. I appreciate, like I said, their effort. You know, some teams, they rest their starters. We don't. We play football, and, you know, and we felt like it was really important that we were playing our best ball here today, and we didn't get that job done. And so we're quickly turning that page, and now we got a home game coming on up, and there's a way to win this game, this next game, and that's what we're going to be solely focused on.
Mm-hmm. We could go back and forth about this, but at the end of the day, we will not know the answer until next week. I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear a take. Boy, I have a problem with what Sirianni did. And I just know the way a lot of coaches think. A lot of coaches think we have the process, we have a plan, and if it doesn't work out, it is what it is. That's our result. We got to play this team anyway at some point. We got to go through a team like as good as the 49ers. You know, the Packers are playing National Football League football too. How does it matter what we did to them in Brazil and what we did to them last year in the regular season? Or what we did to them last year in the postseason? Doesn't matter what we did to them in the regular season this season. Four quarters of football and wild card weekend, anybody can win. And the 49ers are a team that we got to go through anyway at some point. So what does it matter? Well, fans are sitting there going, no, it matters because I'm doing the smell test. I'm doing the eye test here. And that 49ers team that played everybody on Saturday night and couldn't run it or pass it a lick against Seattle.
Couldn't do anything.
It's only going to go up from here. At least that's what fans are thinking. And why wouldn't we want to guarantee ourselves a second home game with a wild card weekend win if we can't? And why would you just sit back? Well, because if Jalen Hurts gets rolled up on, or A.J. Brown gets rolled up on, or Blankenship gets rolled up on, I could just keep going on and on and on, and suddenly isn't available for the Packers. What good does that do us? Yeah. And with the Bears, the answer is, if I'm Ben Johnson, we don't have the luxury of sitting people down. Are you kidding me? We're still, every rep matters. Every rep matters. And would it be great for me to have, you know, put everybody out there and it all worked out so well that we beat the Lions and I could good, better, best us to the playoffs? Sure. But at the end of the day, doesn't matter. We still were the two seed. Didn't cost us. And here comes a Packers team that we're going to play. And, you know, does it help us that we're not playing the 49ers? I don't know. We almost beat them too. We put 40 up on them and Seattle couldn't do a thing against them. So we're better than Seattle. How does that sound? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different ways to sell this thing. But in terms of what's right and what's wrong, we don't coach their teams. We don't have the medical reports. And on top of it, most importantly, we don't have the results of next week yet. And if the Packers come in to town and beat the Bears? Is it because they played their starters in week 18 and they're tired, or the Lions exposed them? I don't know. Packers have two games of their own against them. So there's that. By the way, did you see the way Matt LaFleur dapped it up with Kevin O'Connell?
LaFleur.
At the end of that game? They were like long-lost brothers. Certainly not the way LaFleur and Ben Johnson meet each other in the middle of the field. And then with the Eagles, if they get beat by a 49ers team, is it because the guys didn't play last week? Or if they're all healthy and they one and done a 49ers team that comes in banged up because they did have to put Brock Purdy behind the Trent Williams-less offensive line and he suffers a stinger at the end of a game.
Now what?
We don't have the results, but it's sure fun to talk about, is it not?
Sure is.
You thought the Eagles should have played everybody?
I think punting on the two seed, that was an interesting strategy.
Didn't the Clippers do that all the time? Where they punt on a better seed, doesn't matter. I mean, what does it matter?
All the time would mean that they're always in the run.
Nice,
for something.
Good one. I like it.
Happened.
I think NBA teams seem to do that quite
they
a
seem,
bit.
Yeah,
of all the teams, I understood the Chargers kind of punting on week 18. I understood the Packers punting this week. I didn't get
the Eagles.
The Eagles, and even I guess Josh Allen's a little banged up.
But. Oh, dude, you're not playing Josh Allen against the Jets team trying to take shots. Are you kidding me? Not saying that they're headhunters, but they're trying to keep food on the table and keep a job and prove themselves to a head coach in a front office that's like, who's in with us next year and who's not. And you want to put Josh Allen out there? Not a chance, man. I don't care.
No, they didn't need them to beat the Jets,
way.
Obviously.
And James Cook, too. Yeah. Not a chance.
The Eagles one was a little head-scratching.
Not a chance. You want Josh Allen as spry as possible and Josh Hines Allen and the rest of that Devin Lloyd's coming for you next week. No chance.
But the way their offense has just been kind of up and down and inconsistent for full game, it would have been nice to put a full game tape together.
That's why the Bears are like, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. But I love it. Ben Johnson says, we don't rest our guys. We play football around here. That's why Chicago fans love that sort of talk. They love that sort of talk. Big time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So much more to discuss. Eyes on the quarterback, coaching carousel that's spinning. We'll hit that more of your phone calls. 844-204-RICH on this busy Monday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai Hope on Wheels is something I've been telling you about for months, and for over 27 years it's been going on. Every Hyundai sold has been helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more about this awesome program. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard here on the Rich Eisen Show. Gabriel in Washington, let's take your phone call. What's up, Gabriel?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
What up, man?
Thanks for hanging on as long as you have.
Hey, I'm glad you guys finally touched on the Seahawks. I know we're tucked up here in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah.
We always, when it comes to media and all that stuff. But I've grown up like that. I'm used to it. It's all good. So I just want to crow for the Seahawks. What I've forgotten to say the last couple of times I've been on is, speaking of crow, anyone that refers to us as the sea chickens, I just want to give you a little correction. We're the sea roosters because we're your daddy.
Turzo in Iowa.
Shots at Turzo.
From Gabriel in Washington.
The last 3 weeks. No, it's not just Turzo. I've heard Tozer before, whatever, but anyone that, I got a brother-in-law, I got an uncle, I got a best friend that's all 49ers fans or whatever, and it's always playful banter, but I think the Seahawks and 49ers is a real West Coast rivalry, even though the Rams are good this last handful of years, but Seahawks-Niners is always a great rivalry. Football is better when both those teams are humming and they're going back and forth, but anyways, the Seahawks, I know their offense definitely left some points out on the field, Jason Myers is using missed kicks, so there's, you know, another 6 points. So that would have been 19-3. And then I was screaming at the TV for the Barnyard. They're on the first and goal after the pass interference on Gian Amador Lenore. And, like, A.J. Barner, give me the Barnyard for the touchdown. They didn't do it. They got sacked and then went backwards and missed Charbonnet. But, anyways, that game could have easily been 26-3, but...
Well, how about this, Gabriel?
They did beat the 49ers by 10.
How about this, Gabriel? It felt like it was 26-3. You know what I mean?
It did. And then these last 3 weeks, so all year long, you're going to like this, Rich, all year long the Seahawks run game has been solid. But these last 3 weeks, it's been great. They went for 170 against the Rams, 160 against the Panthers, and they ran for 180 Saturday night.
Well, you know,
in the playoffs. I think the Packers are going to come to town after they beat the Bears. I think the Rams go to Philly and then lose to Philly. And I think in order to beat the champs, you got to knock them out. I think Philadelphia is coming to Seattle for the NFC Championship.
Did you call them Spilladelphia? Did I hear that or no?
Yeah, why not?
Gabriel in Washington, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Well done. And I appreciate him using the proper terminology that the run game was solid, but last 3 weeks it's been great. Because, again, solid does not mean great when you use that adjective.
And they weren't.
So... let me just say this, because I, in the same way, heard from every Niner fan I know and in my life, hey, man, thanks for that top ranking in your power rankings going into the final week of the season.
People were thanking you for that?
I was getting some Niners fans saying, you're finally seeing what we've been seeing all year long. This team has heart. This team has guts. It's got grit. And we're going to win this game against Seattle. And in the same way I was hearing that, I was hearing from Seahawks fans, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I will say to those Seahawks fans now, mea culpa. I saw a Niners team that had Brock Purdy account for 5 touchdowns in 2 straight games. I saw them on tilt offensively. I saw them overcome a lot against the Bears to outlast them. I saw them go on the road and Phillip Rivers Monday Night Football at home. That's not an easy place to go into with Phillip Rivers starting and the fans there in Indianapolis going nuts, and they took care of business there. And I saw them with this team taking on the Seahawks at home with an opportunity to get the one seed in the NFC. And they went from not having to pack for the entirety of the playoffs, as long as they were in it, including the Super Bowl, they went from that to needing the Packers to go on a run like them for them to have one more home game. That's it. And I'll tell you this. The Seattle Seahawks defense is up there with Houston's. It's up there with Jacksonville's defense, Denver's defense. They are up there and maybe the best one, period. And as long as Sam Darnold doesn't turn it over, you're going to hear that over and over and over again, even though he didn't do it to the tune of his usual doing it.
Well, he led the league in turnovers this year.
I understand. Over what I'm saying is this game and what he's done in the past games, in his other time winning 14 games last year, first quarterback to win 14 games for 2 different teams in back-to-back seasons ever. And the run game, Zach Charbonnet, 12 touchdowns this year, 12 of them. And the play of the game, I understand we're all talking about how tip ball off of Christian McCaffrey's hands, interception in the red zone. That one changed a lot. But I kind of think the 3rd and 17 that they handed to Kenneth Walker and he gets 19 on it, and they show John Lynch cursing in the general manager suite. That one led to a field goal by Jason Myers that he did make, 13-3. And that made it feel like it was 26-3. So they're coming up with big moments, key moments. Defensively, they were all over Brock Purdy. They were all over McCaffrey. They were all over anybody. They didn't give the Niners a second to breathe. And the Niners' offense was on tilt, including the week before against the Bears without Kittle. in this building with everything to play for. And Seattle went in and said, not today. We're the ones getting hats and T-shirts. Yours are being sent to some country you'll never hear of again. And we're going home. You're going to Philly. That's what the Seahawks did. And you got to give it up. Mike McDonald, the same way I said about Liam Cohen in hour number one, coach of the year candidate. There's so many of them from which to choose. And the Seahawks are the one seed. And every year that they've been to one seed, they make the Super Bowl. They haven't won it every time, but they make it in the past. So you got to give it up. And I had them fourth in my power rankings. They'd now be one. Going into the playoffs. Do I do that one more time?
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, I mean, Seattle, you've got my attention now 100% and completely. And enjoy the week off, because the NFC playoffs are a you-know-what.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.